Well, hello out there, boys and girls in Radio Land and others who are enjoying this spectacle of broadcasting. Be prepared for some laughs, some increase in brain cell quantity, and of course, any program with Adam, there will be a surprise or three. Thank you for listening, as always, to WGH Talk Radio, broadcasting via our website and through TuneIn all over the great Milky Way. I bring to you a very erudite guest. Always have fun when he's on the air. We don't always agree, but that's okay. If everybody agreed, the world would be a very boring place. And that, of course, would be the esteemed professor of presidentology and author of much reading material, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman, from his much warmer domicile in Florida. So how are you today, Ron, on this, well, it's always summer there, but on this late fall day here in Mid-Ohio?
Yeah, good morning. It's good. It's not as warm as usual. It's about 70 degrees, which is nice because this is the winter, or almost the winter in any case. So, but it did get down into about low 60s, and I had to put on a sweater the other day.
Low 60s, that's swimming weather here in Mid-Ohio. Well, this program is going to be so awesome that you might be listening to it a few days after we have the initial broadcast, but that's okay. It's worth hearing dozens of times, sharing with your family, friends, neighbors, enemies, and whomever else. Now, since we last talked, Ron, much has happened, and we're not going to spend 5 hours talking about it, we're not going to talk really fast. We're just going to consolidate and talk about the things that I think are the most interesting and sometimes a little humor. Now, as I've mentioned previously, Ron, a woman that I miss greatly, Dr. Joyce Brothers. Three individuals have joined her at the great talk show and political event in heaven, and we'll discuss that. Dr. Joyce Brothers, Ron, spoke at my college, and I would say two things really stood out. First, that she said things come in threes. We've had three deaths of folks that you and I both admire greatly and will miss indefinitely, people who had a great impact on history. And the other thing she said was the question that I asked her, when do you think we'll have a female president or vice president? And she said, in our children's lifetimes. And that's partially right, because she did pass away before we have our current VP, who, of course, is of the female persuasion. So I'd like to bring that up as Dr. Joyce Brothers' great guest on game shows. I think she was even on one of my favorite shows, Frasier. Of course, someone who's really gone down in pop culture, and in saying things come in threes, we unfortunately have to talk about three deaths that have recently occurred. And let's start with First Lady Rosalynn Carter. As we talked about off-air, Ron, I was on with Scott and Matt recently, and Scott was speaking a lot about the not flattering photo of former President Jimmy Carter at the funeral for Rosalynn, where he was in a wheelchair of some kind, reclined with a blanket, and we know he's in hospice care, but it just wasn't a very flattering photo, and we're used to seeing Jimmy Carter with a big smile on his face and always having something erudite to say. What is your opinion, yeah, Rod, of that photo, and you know what I'm speaking about? What was your opinion? What went through your brain when you saw that in the media?
I was stunned and shocked, actually, because I've never seen anybody in hospice, and I guess the way he looked is the way you look at a time like that. I think he was having trouble breathing because he had his mouth wide open, and it was hard to look at it. It really was. It was very upsetting to me, actually, because it's not the image I've always had of him, but I suppose when people are nearing death, that's what it's like, and how many of us have really been close to somebody where we see them at a time like that. So it was very upsetting and touching, and no question about it.
Do you think it was a good idea to make that picture available to the general public? That's something Scott and I and Matt talked about quite a bit during the recent program.
Well, it was a walk by all the Carter family members, and he was being wheeled along. He is, after all, the leader of the family. So I don't know how it could have been avoided under those circumstances, you know, but it was really upsetting to me a lot. It really was, yes.
So you would agree with me that we'd like to see a current photo of President Carter. We're not expecting the youthful, smiling gentleman from the 70s and a few years beyond, beyond his presidency. We know he's not going to look well, and that's what we saw. But I still appreciate seeing it, and I think President Carter liked it, the fact that the photo was available. We understand he's in hospice care. He's not well, but he is alive. And every day you wake up, you know, it's a victory.
And now he is 99 and 2 months as of the 1st of December. So I still hope he can make another 10 months and reach 100 next October 1.
He's feisty enough, Ron. He will do everything he can to make it to number 100. And I wish him well. You know, we don't agree fully on the success of his presidency. I found his presidency to be more in the negative column, although we did accomplish a few things. But as a man, as an elder statesman, as a post president, I think he's the best, and that says quite a bit. And a bit of a folk hero, I think he's come down. You know, Babe Ruth, people we think about. He's a folk hero, and will continue to be that. And you know, I have an affection for his family. Billy Carter, my favorite presidential sibling. I also liked his mom, of course. Rosalynn, we also miss her. She was a powerful first lady, one who helped President Carter much in the administration. And again, his daughter Amy, also a bit of a colorful character. So Carter,
yes,
president.
That was interesting. Yeah. That was interesting when Amy read that 75-year-old love letter. That was wonderful. You know, at the funeral.
Yeah, they're a model for marriage, sticking together, commitment through good times and bad times. And I think we need a little bit more of that, don't we?
Yeah, I think their longevity, and particularly his, is going to help him once he passes. Because although I'm not saying he's equivalent to President Truman, Truman would say, oh, he's horrible, and he lived 20 years beyond his presidency. And then after he died, there was Truman mania, and suddenly his rankings shot up. Now, I'm not saying Carter's going to shoot up to the top 10 like Truman did, but I do think the whole image of Carter has really been helped by his post-presidency, by the decency of the man, and I think his ranking will go up. I'm not saying to the top 10, but higher than it is now.
Yeah,
so we'll appreciate it more later.
Yeah, we've talked about President Ford and being unique in that he was never elected directly. He was appointed by Nixon, and then he lost the election to Jimmy Carter, and his ranking has increased. You look at him, I mean, not elected directly, but he certainly had a lot of on-paper qualifications. He was a nice guy, seemed kind of down to earth, and we admire his wife and her death. She has, and obviously prior to that, she has done so much to help out the serious drug abuse problem in this country and all over the globe. And so, and he was a football player for Ohio State's biggest rival, U of Michigan. So President Ford also, we've had an affection for him as time has gone. And that will happen to people in history. It's a natural reaction. And with me, Carter, I think of him as, in my lifetime, well, I now consider him the second worst president in my lifetime. But as a post-president, I honestly put him at number one. And that's some pretty tough company to be associated with. But again, the longevity is a large part of it. And as I told Scott, there's a sentimental connection. His presidency ending, the hostages being released, Reagan starting, was right in my first year of college. I think it was just before I joined the college radio station, and it was just before Scott was born. So there's some sentimental connection there. As I said, I liked his down-to-earth nature. I liked his family. He just came across as a bit of a weak leader, and maybe he's one of those people who is just better off not being president, but he could be almost anything else. So it'll be something for the history books, Ron. I think fellow presidentology connoisseurs like yourself be writing papers about the Carter presidency and about Rosalynn, and I guess that's and that enriches American history, enriches our lives. So that's something.
Yes, I have to say Rosalynn's not a part of person to hear much about before. Now we're learning about how much she's done. But it's interesting how they both sort of like left in the background, but I think that she's going to look better in history as much as her husband, you know?
And that will happen. The first ladies, they can be a bit colorful. They all have a unique way about them. And sometimes we have something which is unprecedented, or as I say, unprecedented. Hillary, the first with a postgraduate degree. And now we've had two other first ladies, I believe, with postgraduate degrees. Dr. Jill Biden, of course, the current one, and of course, Mrs. Obama, who, like Hillary, is an attorney. And Melania,
yes,
not as much formally educated, but she speaks 6, 7, 8 languages, which is, of course, 6, 7, 8 more languages than her husband, Donald J. Trump. So,
yeah,
you know, Melania, certainly one of the most beautiful first ladies. I think we could agree on that. We may not agree in terms of her intelligence and her impact, but I do admire.
Well, let me just comment that there's been a poll of experts on first ladies, and it's not a joke. She is ranked, Melania, at the absolute bottom of all first ladies, behind everybody. This is effective, like number 39 out of 39 first ladies. And her husband is rated third from the bottom.
Well, kind of intriguing. I mean, you're a victim of circumstance sometimes as a first lady. It's not an official office, but first ladies tend to do stuff, as Rosalind did, as Betty Ford did. I mean, Nancy Reagan, a big champion against drug abuse, although I feel you probably would agree that Betty Ford did more, and her legacy
continues. I think Betty Ford and Rosalind continues. Carter were better. Yeah, I think they were better.
Not a big Nancy Reagan fan. I think she...
Or Barbara Bush either. Not that great. And they're all right. But honestly, the Ford and Carter, they're not great presidents, and their first ladies are not as famous. But I actually think in the mid to late 70s, after Nixon, we actually had a refreshing a couple of couples there that really worked out. And I think that they're not appreciated enough. The Fords also. I've told students Ford is the best Republican president in many ways since Eisenhower, because there was no scandals under him. Well, Reagan had scandals, and Bush, too, had scandals, not so much Bush 1, and Trump, and I just pointed out that, you know, that Ford really does stand out, but he's forgotten because he didn't win his own race, and Carter because he lost re-election.
Adam here on The Talking Place with Dr. Ronald L. Fineman talking about the events of the world. I mentioned about Dr. Joyce Brothers mentioning that things come in threes, and there were three recent deaths of people that were and will continue to be important in American history. We've discussed Mrs. Carter. Now let's discuss one of my favorite people. The first, Supreme Court justice of the female persuasion, and that would be Sandra Day O'Connor. Sad to hear about her passing. Always admired her. What's your opinion? What went through your brain, Ron, when you heard about her passing?
Well, I thought she was an outstanding justice, and she was a moderate centrist. She came on in the court as a conservative, appointed by Ronald Reagan, but she actually moved to the Senate and was the swing vote on many cases, along with Anthony Kennedy. And, you know, and now we don't have that on the court, so I think her loss and Anthony Kennedy having retired a few years ago really is a loss, because the Supreme Court has lost its credibility, and it's actually quite a corrupt organization now, and it's too extreme, and it has not been that way for a century, and now it is again. It's like the 1920s, really, the way the court is. But I think it's worse now, because they've reversed so many things that people accept as traditional and normal. So I just wish there was a few retirements on the court now, like Alito and Thomas. I must say, the two Bush presidents gave us two of the worst Supreme Court justices we've ever had. Nobody realized it at the time, but they really have.
Justice O'Connor, one thing about her that I found cool, as you probably know, Ron, she was selected by Reagan and told Reagan that she was what I call anti-choice. I don't use the term pro-life, as I don't think it really has anything to do with life. And she was actually fibbing that she is pro-choice. I mean, maybe not as pro-choice as you and I are, but certainly she didn't really represent that opinion, and that helped her get nominated. I thought that was pretty cool. It took a lot of chutzpah, or cojones, as you call it. What was your opinion about that, Ron? Did you admire that quality in her, her feistiness, her wanting to break that barrier, become the first female Supreme Court justice? And if that meant being a little untruthful at times, so be it. And again, her career as a justice was a very good one, and a very, very, very smart woman, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, and she set a standard for the later women on the court and was a great model for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. When she came to the court, and I've seen that she has said in the past that Ginsburg was very nervous when she got on the court, and she told her to just be yourself. I mean, she was a really down-to-earth lady, Sandra Day O'Connor.
And very sharp, and I admire her and hope she's in heaven listening to me, that someone like that is a role model. You need to play the system and play it well and play it ethically.
Yeah, I must say one thing that's of interest, which is a little strange, it's almost like not quite comedy, but it is a lot. Is weird, is her husband had dementia and Alzheimer's, and she quit the court for that reason, when she didn't have to, which was great dedication to her husband. But then 10 years later, and her husband, of course, had passed, she ended up with dementia and Alzheimer's. And also, she was appointed by a president who ended up with dementia and Alzheimer's, Ronald Reagan. It's just an oddity that all three are connected that way.
Yeah, two of the women who were groundbreakers in their field that I admire and that we've lost, Sandra Day O'Connor, and of course Sally Ride, the female astronaut. I always liked her.
Yes.
Always liked seeing her smile, holding her astronaut helmet, and she knows that she was smiling, that she had broken that barrier, and will lead the way for diversity in the astronaut business. Last but not least, Ron, we would agree this is the most controversial of the three people we've recently lost who were well-known
easily
Americans, and that would be Mr. Henry Kissinger. And he was 100 years old, if I'm not mistaken, a long storied life. And what's your opinion on Mr. Kissinger, Ron? And will his opinion improve in history books, professors like yourself, the general public, as time goes on?
He has his positives. He negotiated the end of the Vietnam War. He opened up China, which was very important, promoted detente with the Soviet Union. Those are all, quote, good things, end quote. But on the other hand, he's also was considered in the rest of his life as an international outlaw and criminal for his involvement in spreading the Vietnam War into Cambodia and promoting the overthrow of a democratic government in Chile and in Argentina. And also involved in promoting the Greek dictatorship at that time that was eventually overthrown. He actually seems to have lacked ethics and morals. And in fact, when he was asked about Chile, he would get up and walk away. He would not answer any questions. But he couldn't travel all over the world, only certain places, because he could have been arrested, for war crimes. So he believes in realpolitik, as they call it, but he really, in a lot of ways, is seen as a very negative force. So a very mixed record, but certainly significant, that's for sure.
Now, certainly in your coursework as a presidentologist and teacher of the presidency at the university where you hang your hat, you do cover Kissinger, you do cover the Nixon administration. Do you think you're going to be changing what you say about him and about Tricky Dicky himself now that Kissinger has passed?
Well, I'll tell you, as far as Nixon's concerned, I've always said the positive things about Nixon, and people look and they're surprised, but there's definite negative things, and Nixon is still a very negative force, and so is Kissinger. There's some good things, everything is balanced, it's not all one way or the other, but, I mean, Nixon has some very good positives in foreign and domestic policy, but his negatives are very heavy, and that's why he's rated around in the early 30s out of 45 presidents. And Kissinger is significant, but I don't think he's going to look good in the long run because he really undermined the idea of democracy in the world, and he was too much, somehow appreciative of totalitarian governments and able to work with them better. But he didn't like when people opposed him. He was very egotistical. And also, he helped to encourage the corrupt Shah of Iran during the energy crisis. You know, the Shah who ended up being overthrown, that caused the troubles we've had with Iran ever since. So, in many ways, he's a very negative force, and so is Nixon. But there are positives, as I've said. I always show both sides.
Do you think he will be the most divisive, controversial, and colorful Secretary of State for either permanently or for a long time? Is that office maybe dimmed in power and visibility since he was in office? It just seems like you talk about a Secretary of State, it's Kissinger. He is like the de facto standard for the most active and most controversial vocal Secretary of State.
Well, I think he is the most famous. Most famous, but also most controversial. I want to point out, though, an interesting thing. He hit 100 years of age, and one of his successors, the Secretary of State, George P. Shultz, who served under Reagan, also lived to be 100. Well, how about that?
It must be an office that keeps you young. I mean, maybe talk about someone from overseas, Ron, who learns about the United States but hasn't been here, doesn't live here. You might ask him, well, what's a city in the United States? Nine people out of 10 are going to say New York City. Who is a U.S.
Yeah.
president? Well, either George Washington or Abraham Lincoln is probably going to be the answer. Maybe Reagan among younger people. And who is the Secretary of State? I would think virtually 100% of people would say Henry Kissinger. I mean, could they even name another Secretary of State? I mean, I couldn't even name five of them and I just think about Kissinger. You know, I think about those glasses that he wore. I mean, just the accent, his opinions, and being divisive and being very smart. And at the same time,
I want to point out that someone has told me, I don't know if it's true, that German accent was put on, that he could talk normally, but he used that German accent that he has had as a young man as a purposeful thing. I wonder if that was true. I don't know, but I've had somebody tell me that.
Do you think now that Richard Nixon and Mr. Kissinger are sharing space in heaven, do you think that they're giggling about Donald Trump and kind of shaking their head as to the things that happened and are happening and will happen to Donald Trump versus what happened to Nixon? What do you think their reactions might be if we were able to channel them in a conversation?
Well, I'm sure with Nixon, was true, of course, in the case of Kissinger, he knew what Trump did, and he was critical of quite a bit of it. In case of Nixon, I think he would say, how does he get away with so much all this time? I think that's what he would say, because he couldn't. He had his party tell him to leave, have Senate and House leaders come and say, you need to resign. And yet the Republican Party of modern times has not done that with Trump, never was willing to do. Look at Kevin McCarthy, how he said one thing one day, and then he went and made up with him. And he was worried recently, about he wasn't eating. I mean, Kevin McCarthy is a piece of crap. He really is. He's a disgrace. He really is. But then the new speaker is actually worse. He's a religious freak. He's a nut. You know, he's really off the wall. And, you know, I don't know if he's even going to survive to the end of this Congress. The Republican Party is not what it was in the time of Nixon, which was then a reputable party.
At this point, Ron, it almost seems like the Speaker of the House, that person has about as much job security as a manager of the New York Yankees, doesn't it?
Yes.
Adam here
well,
on
other managers,
Talking
a lot
Place.
Of managers can end up being fired, yeah.
Yep, with Dr. Ron Fineman laughing, but discussing some serious topics and some of the events that have happened since we last shared these microphones. George Santos, Ron, you were a bit in shock when you found out that he is now going to populate the unemployment line. So what's your take on that little festivity?
Well, I mean, I'm not defending George Santos. He's a disgrace. But I really thought he was going to survive throughout the term and then leave, because there's only been 5 people in the House and 10 in the Senate who have ever been removed by vote 2/3 of each chamber. And almost all of them, with just a couple of exceptions, were for the Civil War, people who backed the Confederate States of America. So it does stun me that he actually was pushed out. But I think it's good for Nassau County and Queens County in New York, my old haunts, because they deserve a congressman who does the job right and is not a phony. But I never expected that would actually happen. I am really surprised. And I am concerned that it could lead to others being expelled purely on if you can get 2/3 to disagree with things they've said or done. I don't know if that's necessarily a good trend, to have people expelled who have been elected by the voters. Whatever we think, he was elected by the voters. It may have been a sham what he ran on, but it does seem to me a little unusual to have a person being removed when it's so rare a thing, and really only the Civil War is the major reason.
Adam here on the Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio, speaking with our official presidentologist, Dr. Ronald L. Fineman. Now, Dr. Fineman publishes a blog called theprogressiveprofessor.com, which we encourage you to read daily. It'll just take a minute or two to read in most cases, and sometimes it is filled with left-leaning controversial talk, and sometimes it's just about history. So if you don't agree, just feel free to throw a rotten egg at your phone, or if you do agree, feel free to smile, send Ron an email or Facebook message, and let him know that you appreciated what he wrote. And again, you'll always come away with a few more brain cells than you started with upon deciding to peruse said website. Now, since we recently, and actually I didn't watch this on TV because I had other things going on, although I would have liked to have seen it, but of course I can see the reruns, we had a debate between your governor, you like his first name, Ron, you don't like him though, and that's of course Mr. DeSantis, and of course Mr. Newsom, I believe the governor of the great state of California. And what is your take on that debate, Ron?
I don't think it helped DeSantis at all in his battle to be the Republican nominee. I think it's weakened him. I think he's done. You know, he's not out of the race, but I think he's not going to do well. And Nikki Haley is the person who has benefited before and after that debate. I don't think he looked good. I think Newsom was very confident and very slick and smart. And again, it doesn't mean you always have to agree with everything they say, but I think Newsom seemed very relaxed and calm, and he seemed, DeSantis, very uptight. And Sean Hannity is a horrible host for such a thing as this. He was trying to distort things on one side, obviously, the DeSantis side, but I don't think it worked. I really don't think so. It's hard to know what public opinion is going to say. I haven't seen a public opinion poll yet, but I don't think that DeSantis is going anywhere except to be governor of Florida. By the way, that's interesting. He's in his second term. There's a limit on terms. There's talk that his wife may decide to run to succeed him, which is not a good thought in my mind, but it could happen, I guess. Apparently, she's ahead in public opinion polls that DeSantis should become the next governor. It reminds me of George Wallace after he couldn't run again, that his wife became governor. But it's not a good memory because I honestly think DeSantis is a lot like George Wallace, but only hate and prejudice, and that's not a good thing. So I'm hopeful that he's not going to be president. I don't think he will, or be the nominee, and that his wife will not be the next governor, but that may very well happen in 2026.
At this point, Ron, former President Donald J. Trump appears to be leading among Republican voters, but he has not participated in any debates. He's mentioned he doesn't need to because he thinks he's going to win. So what's the deal with that? Do you think it's time for Donald to step behind the podium and participate in a debate, or is this a good strategy? I know you don't like him, obviously, but is this a good strategy from him not to debate, maybe debate much closer to crunch time? What's your feeling on that?
Well, on his perspective, it makes sense not to debate because he gets enough publicity anyway, but it's not the right way to handle it. But he doesn't care. He doesn't believe in basic human rights. He's already dictated the idea that he's going to, indeed take over and make a military takeover of the country. That's what he's saying. He's saying the military, he will use the Insurrection Act on day one. If that happens, we've lost our democracy, and you and I will not be able to talk freely on radio or on TV or anything else. It's horrifying. He cannot be allowed to become president. He just cannot. And I think he'll be convicted. And, I do think that he's going to go to prison eventually.
So you are definitely not in favor of Donald Trump coming anywhere close to the Oval Office in the future.
No. Absolutely, you're correct.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, the caucuses start in maybe a couple months, and that's from the first broadcast
to
this
January 15th. January 15th. Yeah. It's actually a month and a half from now.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're just a few weeks away. What's going to happen in Iowa, and any early predictions as to who might be winning?
Well, I think he's probably favored Trump, but Iowa is a caucus. There's only about three caucus states left. I don't think the caucus idea was ever a good idea because caucuses always have been the extreme candidates in both parties, and I just think the only way to go is a primary. But unfortunately, Iowa started the caucuses in the 70s. A few other states do, and they are the first measure of support. And honestly, if DeSantis cannot do well there, he's not doing well anywhere. I think that Haley has a chance to possibly do well in those early races, particularly in New Hampshire and in Nevada and South Carolina. And if she doesn't win South Carolina, then she's done because she can't win her own state. And right now he's still ahead Trump. So it's so hard to figure out what's going to happen. I don't know. It's such a mess we're in. It's a terrible situation to face. Yeah.
Do you think it's a good idea, first of all, to dump the caucuses? I think we agree on that. But should all the primaries be held on the same day? It seems silly. It's like you keep one state, then you got the Super Tuesday, you got the Super Thursday, whatever.
I would like that, but it's not going to happen. New Hampshire particularly has the first primary, and they make money on it by having everybody come to New Hampshire, with all the campaigns and all that. So the states are not going to allow that. This is going to be an issue of states' rights, which we hear so much about. The states are going to want their own publicity and attention. And so while I agree with you, I think it would be good to have a primary day like we have Election Day, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, to me, 6 months before Election Day, early May would be a good time for an all-country primary. I don't like this system. I've grown to like...
No, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I've grown to like the Electoral College. I understand that states like Wyoming do get are weighted more heavily than say New York or California or even Ohio, the more populous states. But it does allow, I think, the 50 states to make an appropriate share. And even if you don't have a lot of people, you do have enough of a of an impact on what the final election results will be. Plus, we look at area. I know area is not that big. Wyoming has a lot of space, but not a lot of people.
Let me just say on that, you and I will agree to disagree, because five times now we've had the popular vote winner lose the election because of the Electoral College, including in 2000. Al Gore had a 540,000 vote lead nationally. He did not become president. And Hillary Clinton in 2016 had 2.85 million and did not become president, and plus three times in the 19th century. And the thing is that every other office, governor, mayor, senator, congressman, state legislature, any place that has judicial elections, whoever gets the most votes is the winner. And I think that should be that way. But, of course, our founding fathers messed us up by setting up this denial of belief in people's vote. They wanted to have the elite control it. And so the Electoral College, the only way to deal with it would be to have a constitutional amendment to overcome it, or to have this popular vote interstate compact idea, which it's not. I don't see it happening. So we're still going to have the danger of a popular vote loser by 2.85 million or it's 540,000 can become president, and that's bad because anywhere else, the one who gets the most votes wins, no matter where they're from, as far as the votes.
I think we can agree the system is flawed. We may not agree exactly on how it's flawed, how to fix it, but there certainly are some holes, and we need to fix them.
Yeah, I want to also mention the U.S. Senate. I love the Senate, but the Senate, it's become unbelievable. We have California with 40 million people, has two senators. Wyoming with half a million, a little more than half a million have two senators. And that gives the small states, in quotes, great amount of power to block any action, even though there's so few people there. Now, I know we're not going to get rid of the Senate, but honestly, it's a very, in quotes, undemocratic body, not the party, but undemocratic body, and it's frustrating. Because really, small states can dominate the Senate, and it's not where most people live. So it's a real problem. The top 10 states have 60% of the whole population of the country. So it's a real problem, the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, I think the idea is, just like with the Electoral College, is to allow the states with less people to have more of a say. And many times these states have a lot of area. Wyoming and Alaska being two examples. Alaska's
Montana also
growing rapidly, but the area is enormous. You look at it versus, say, Texas, which has a lot of area and a lot of people, and it dwarfs it. So that's the logic there. And you know, I don't think the system is perfect. It cannot be made perfect, but I do understand that even if a state doesn't have a lot of people, it still should have a say. And Wyoming is still a state, not a lot of people there. Maybe not everybody knows as much about geography as you or I do, Ron, but they certainly deserve a say. And the concept of the senator, obviously a California senator represents a lot more people than a Wyoming or Idaho a senator. But that's kind of how
North Dakota.
the system is made. And something else that people can write PhD theses on and talk about ad infinitum on radio programs and other presentations. Dr. Ronald Fineman here, my guest on WGH Talk Radio, where we discuss politics, presidents, and other things related to pop culture, American history, current events, etc. Now, you wrote previously, Ron, and we would agree with this, the voice of reason in the field of Republican presidential helpfuls is Nikki Haley, former governor of South Carolina. We like her intelligence, her age, her experience, the fact that she is rather moderate. However, you did have a change of heart recently when you wrote in your blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, that she is endorsed by Americans for Prosperity and is enjoying that endorsement. Yeah. And has that scarred her? Is that going to hurt her chances to be president? What's your take on that?
Well, it might give her an advantage to be the nominee, but honestly, the Koch family libertarian movement has done so much damage to this country, and I understand she can't say no to them, really, because they provide a lot of money, and it would be the alternative to Trump, but it's a big big negative when it comes to Election Day. And also, I just posted today an article that says that she supports the idea that all federal government workers should only have a 5-year contract and then have to leave, which is insane. Because you need experience, you need knowledge. You can't keep on changing people every 5 years. That sounds like a real wacko idea. So I think she is starting to sound crazy in what she's saying. Mm-hmm. She still benefits Trump. But I'm telling you, the Republican Party is a disaster. It really is, because there should be better candidates. Even Chris Christie, who I'm not a big fan of, at least is better, but he's going nowhere, because the party is controlled by the cult known as Donald Trump. So I don't know what to say. I would prefer Haley over Trump, but I can't see Haley becoming president. I also want to make a point that a colleague of mine was saying to me, I'm talking about Kamala Harris, that she said if Harris by some chance becomes president by succession, or, you know, that she would never be accepted. I don't agree with the idea of never. She'd have a great amount of trouble being accepted. But she said if Nikki Haley became president, it would be different. And I said, well, why? She said, you know, I mentioned that both, of course, from South Asia, India. It's nothing to do with that, she said, it's because Haley's a Republican woman. A Republican woman would be accepted by the country. A Democratic woman like Hillary Clinton or Kamala Harris would never be truly accepted. I'm curious what you think of that.
Well, that is interesting, and some people might say that the Democratic Party is more in favor of diversity, which would include a woman, or as we've had, a black president, not someone who is, what I say, an OWG, old white guy, even though the current Democratic president is an OWG, but that's the typical demographic. I personally see Nikki Haley as more mainstream. As you know, I am not by any means or anything close to a fan of Kamala Harris. I admire her rise through the system, but her opinions and even the way she speaks, saying I'm not a fan would be generous. By no means do I agree with everything Haley says, but I do find her appealing in some ways. And, you know, when you're endorsed by a group that's a bit controversial, what do you do?
Yeah.
I mean, you want their votes, you want their money, you want their followers, but you don't want to show that you agree with everything. And is she doing that?
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? I mean, we could agree, Ron, Nikki Haley is a very smart cookie. And so,
yes,
whatever she
interesting
might
to say a Republican woman could be accepted, a Democratic woman will never be accepted by the country, this colleague says. I think that's quite a statement.
I would say that's rather ironic, but we shall see. I do believe, like with many presidents, Nikki Haley would moderate, not really attach herself to any extremism in office. Again, she is very sharp, and I guess we will find out. Could she come as a dark horse and become president? Well, Jimmy Carter was a dark horse when he started his campaign.
Yes.
Donald Trump wasn't really expected to be the next president, and look what happened. So who knows?
Yep, you never know. That's right.
We shall find out. Whatever happens, Ron, it'll certainly be an interesting course of events. It's a good time to be a radio host, to be a political commentator, and be a professor. You are never out of ideas, are you?
No, never.
And speaking of which, just a few minutes left here on the Adam Lepp Mid-Morning Coffee Break Computer Guy Radio Extravaganza with my esteemed guest, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman, from his much warmer domicile of Boca Raton in the great state of FL, where he shares a first name, but does not share political philosophies with their governor, Mr. Ron DeSantis, about whom we've discussed. An event that we recently recognized the 60th anniversary of, the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, who was our first Catholic president, one of our youngest presidents, and remains one of our most popular presidents, most glamorous, recently commemorated the 60th anniversary. What are your thoughts on that? And you were a young man when that occurred.
I was a college student, It was shocking. It's still the most shocking event of my lifetime, other than September 11th. You know, that certainly would be too. But, you know, the question is, though, I even say to students, that he seemed very popular. He was at the top 10 among presidents. But I said, really, if he had been, if he had not been killed, if he had not been hurt, and would he have been reelected, was doubtful because of the South opposed to what he was doing on civil rights. And if he had been defeated, he wouldn't look as good in history, just like H.W. Bush and Carter and Ford don't look as good because they all got defeated. And so you have to wonder. And then if he had been elected and he did what some new books claim, that he would have escalated the war in Vietnam just like Lyndon Johnson did, would he be as popular if he had done what LBJ did? So in a way, for the point of history, he probably passed away at the right time because they made him like a godlike figure because he looks better, because we don't know what he might have done or whether he would have won re-election.
Yeah, that remains a big mystery. So do you think that his status, what he would have accomplished, would not have been as good if he would have even served a total of two terms? Like, we never really know. We can only prognosticate.
Well, let me just say the presidents that have two terms, generally, the first term is better. The second term, especially because we have limits now, is usually downhill. It's worse. It just tends to be that way. If you look at most presidents, their first term is their peak, and the second term, when they're sort of like lame ducks on their way out, maybe not because of that, but just in coincidence, they tend to not do as well. So you could almost argue maybe it's better to only have one term, but you don't want to say you only have one automatically, because then you become a lame duck on day one. So that's the problem, that no matter how you look at it, either way, it's an issue. But I would say that I wonder if Kennedy would look as good, because I've told students Kennedy is overrated. I really think he is. I would put Lyndon Johnson above him, and he's not, because of Vietnam and because he's not a pretty boy like Kennedy, doesn't have this charisma. But I think in actual results, if he could forget Vietnam, LBJ would be in the top five. With Vietnam, he's like number 10 or 11, while Kennedy's like number 8. But I think Kennedy really does not belong in the top 10 based on what he had accomplished after 2 years, 10 months, and 2 days. But he is, and a lot of it is because of the tragedy of his death.
Yeah, I think his glamorous nature, his family, great, great speaker.
Yes.
That's certainly part of it. And that's what presidents do. They are orators. And I would say our current president and the previous president, that certainly is not one of their strong points. Whereas with Carter, he had that down-to-earth nature. He had the fireside chats. He just seemed like the kind of guy you'd come into your house with and have a beer, maybe a Billy beer in honor of his brother, of course, one of my favorites, Mr. Billy Carter. And do we need that, especially in the social media age? I would say we do. And I guess we'll find out after the next election who will be sitting in the Oval Office. Last but not least, Ron, do you feel Joe Biden is able to serve four more years? Is his mental state okay? Are you comfortable with the president
who's
in his mid-80s?
Yeah, I can't predict what he will be in the future any more than you and I can predict how we will be tomorrow. But I think at this point he has done a very good job under the circumstances, particularly in foreign affairs, I think, and in domestic, I think. And, you know, we don't know. There's no guarantees. But could Donald Trump serve for full 4 years either is the issue. I think he's already mentally disturbed. So I think, if anything, Joe Biden's in better shape. Now, what would I prefer? I would prefer to have new people. I would agree. You know, I think a lot of people would say that. But it's not going to be that way, it looks like. So we just have to hope and pray for the good health of Joe Biden.
And on that note, we thank folks for listening to this radio broadcast. Again, Dr. Feinman's blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. Look him up on Facebook, and you can follow what he has to say, history that he ponders and reminds folks about, and always a surprise or two. And that's how we roll here at The Talking Place. Adam here, reminding you to send me an email with any questions, comments, complaints, suggestions, or if you're bored, just to say hi, adam@wwgh1071.com.